Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Cara Martin,
mm-hmm.
This is the last time you and I are going to do this in these chairs.
I wish you hadn't said that. I'm feeling all sad now.
It's not terrible.
Cara Martin, our book critic, she's going to be with us, though, on the big show next week, March 27. We're going to have kind of a few friends around for a bit of a farewell party in many ways.
I'm looking forward to hanging out with Ben and Mark again.
That's right. We're going to get you, our TV critic Ben, film critic Ben McKeck, and our TV critic Mark Hadley all together. We're going to have a little bit of a natter, and so I'm going to be looking forward to that very much. My final show, and also the show that we reveal who the new Open House host is. Very exciting indeed. In the meantime, let's make the most of it. There's been a whole plethora of books coming out by basically folks that have said, okay, I feel like my life isn't quite right. I want to go out and head and find a new life. They actually have given it a phrase. It's called a quest narrative. Eat, Pray, Love has got to be kind of the quintessential version of it. And then along comes Rhoda Jansen, and she's written Mennonite in a Little Black Dress, which is the next one that you've read.
Yes, that's right. And it's become very popular. It went straight to the top of the New York bestsellers list. And Elizabeth Gilbert from Eat, Pray, Love actually endorsed the book. So
what a
immediately, I was worried.
Oh, yeah.
What's different
about... Because you had some big questions about Eat, Pray, Love.
Yes.
And folks, if you didn't actually read the blog comment that actually... The actual blog review that Cara did for us, go and just do it. Type in Eat, Pray, Love into our search engine, because it's good reading. I've actually passed it on to a number of other people what you wrote there, Cara, as well as the podcast as well, just to give people a bit of an alternative idea as to what has been a very popular book and very popular project.
Yeah, I think the real worry with them is so often it's about a quest to find myself, the inner me, the real me. So it's very internal and self-seeking, I guess. This book is a bit different about this. Whereas Elizabeth Gilbert was sort of escaping from a marriage and then a brief affair, what Rhoda has actually had to cope with is a husband who had bipolar and was suicidal and then left her for a gay man. And then she had a car crash, suffered multiple injuries, and she was, you know, down in the dumps, just at her wit's end. What does she do? She needs tender, loving care, so she goes home. And home is this Mennonite community, the best way to imagine is probably to imagine the Amish, very similar, except the Amish split away from the Mennonites. And so she goes home to her family to be cared for by her family.
Now, it's supposed to be very funny simply because she actually pulls out some of those Mennonite traditions. And by the way, we should just touch on who the Mennonites are. You mentioned the relationship with the Amish there,
sure.
But Mino Sims.
Yes, that's right. Way back in the 1500s, they came out of the Anabaptist movement. Menno was a Swiss guy who this group formed around. And really it was a sort of a back to Jesus movement in lots of ways. But a lot of their ideas and philosophies were part of the breeding ground and the forerunner to the Reformation in lots of ways. Very passionately peace-loving.
Yep, pacifist.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's probably what they're most famous for. But they ended up being persecuted by both Protestants and Catholics. So they've had a pretty hard time. But they dress very plainly, and their ideas are to live very plainly as well.
Okay. And she describes, Rhoda Jansen then describes some of the Mennonite practices today, which continue on today, which are very cultural. They've got their own culture.
Absolutely. And some of them are a bit strange. For example, not educating women is one of their things. And she rebelled against that, and she's now an academic, so that's sort of the ultimate rebellion against that little one. But she pokes a lot of fun at them. I think what stops it from being just, you know, probably a snide attack for, you know, just milking this for laughs is the fact that she's also very self-deprecating. She recognises that she's actually part of this community as well, that these are her family that she's sort of making fun of in lots of ways. And there's a sense that she also loves and respects them as well, like even while she's laughing at them.
Okay. So when you were reading it, what did you most enjoy, and did you get much out of it yourself personally? Because Eat, Pray, Love was a bit of a challenge in that regard. So what about Mennonite
totally.
In a Black Dress?
Well, what was quite funny was that she says these things that she wants you to laugh at, and I'm thinking, oh, that's just like me. So that was a bit. Like, she describes this hilarious scene where they're out in public and her father starts saying grace in public in a restaurant, you know, horror of horrors. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've done that with my kids so many times, you know. And then she talks about, you know, how ridiculous the conditions were about what you could and couldn't watch on TV and so on. And I'm, you know, reasonably restrictive with my own kids with that. So a lot of what she describes and sort of laughs at, I'm thinking, oh, I do that. That's obviously a bit bizarre.
May not be a bad thing, Cara. May not be a bad thing.
No, I think, so that's the thing. I ended up really identifying with her parents. I thought they were fantastic. They're happy, they're accepting, they're caring, they've got a strong marriage, they're firm in their biblical convictions, and they're incredibly service-oriented as well. Mm. They care for their community. They do wonderful things for their community. And in a way, the book sort of travels through that. She comes back and first of all, she's saying, oh, look where I've come back to, you know. And then she ends up, I guess, really appreciating the richness of her parents' lives and the community that they're part of. And so there's that's really the journey she goes on, actually appreciating in a deeper way that they really live what they preach.
They believe.
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful story to be able to tell?
It is.
It's a very good story. Mm. And of course, who were there for her when she had a big crisis?
Absolutely. They just welcome her straight back in, even though, you know, in lots of ways, she's totally rejected everything they believe in.
Okay, well, let's talk about that then. Where is Rhoda Jansen faith-wise herself then?
Well, she had a really terrible experience. She went to camp when she was a teenager and she had this experience where they asked her to do sort of this activity, and then they took something she'd said and they all celebrated and said that, you know, God must have given it to her, and she wasn't so sure about that. And then she just thought, there's so much groupthink about this stuff. So she was feeling, oh my gosh, you know, what do I really believe? And it really sort of challenged her. So she never sort of had a personal, I guess, faith conviction, as it were. And then at that camp, one of the mentors, one of the guys, made a pass at her, which was totally inappropriate, and that sort of convicted her that this was all, you know, a load of rubbish and not for her. So she sort of turned right away from everything her parents believed in at that point. And yet she couldn't shake this idea that God was there. She liked having God in her worldview, she says. So that's something that sort of she carried with her. And it's like she likes the social views of her parents, she really their political views and so on. It's the moral stuff that she really struggled with, and especially the issues about sexual morality, I guess, are the things that she found she couldn't live by those rules.
Yeah.
What's really, really interesting is, by the end of the book has this lovely scene where she's gone with her mum with a busload of seniors out to this herb farm, and they've just started singing songs, you know, in the evening light, and they're all singing these spiritual songs. And in some ways she's saying, isn't this ridiculous? And in other ways she's just captured by the simple faith that they have and these beautiful songs that they're singing. And she just feels, she talks about this idea of it bringing back to her the sound of her heritage, but also her future. So there's a bit of a signal there. And then in other interviews, she's actually said that it's really made her explore spirituality and theology all over again.
Well, I read somewhere that she's married a Pentecostal guy now. So wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting? A Mennonite? Who then, you know, never really made a commitment, personal commitment to Christ personally, but then later on goes back home and then starts to see the weird as well as the beautiful and the wonderful, and now is married to Pentecostal.
And it's ironic because she says that she thinks if she says right at the beginning of the book, if she went to a Pentecostal church, she thinks her parents would be really excited by that, you know, like even at that extreme from Mennonite. She thinks just the fact that she embraced a church community again would mean so much to her parents.
Which
so
says,
I wonder,
again, something about her parents, doesn't it? Okay, so final verdict then. It sounds like the parents and their faith shines through brightly.
Yeah, I think this is a book that it would be so much better to share this than Eat, Pray, Love in lots of ways, because it's really searching around issues of God, the Christian God, and also it's actually in some ways it's a quaint portrayal of Christian community. There's some stuff that's a little bit offensive in there for Christians, but it's hers, you know, I guess, seriously wrestling with some of these ideas. So
it is a quest. She's on a quest, and this is a record of her quest. Okay, Cara, I'm going to see you in a week's time.
Yay!
Looking forward to it. See ya.
Thanks, Sharon.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.